RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Thank you so much for tuning in today. A really big show. Listen, I love this time of year. I know you might hear me say that quite often. I love the start of the NHL season. I love the start of the NFL season. I like the seasons. I love how they change. But there's something special about the fall and the spring. And springtime with the NHL playoffs coming around, NCAA basketball, you've got Major League Baseball kicking off. It's a really, really great time of year. And in the northern hemispheres, that transition from going indoors to outdoors, it's a big deal. All that hard work that you've put in, training and developing indoors or those other sports that you played, now you've got to make the jump. And it is sometimes a tough transition, but it's also maybe one of the secrets to being a great, great athlete. Coming up in a few months, we're going to look at the difference between Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere athletes. And, you know, with baseball kicking off, we're going to talk a lot of baseball today because we got to finish up last week's show. But there's a lot of interesting data coming out of baseball right now that really shines a light on exactly what we're talking about. We're going to address that later in the show as well. We're going to talk about injury prevention and getting ready for your baseball season because we know one thing this time of year. As the baseball season begins, and you know, even in the Southern Hemisphere, leagues and certain important national team tryouts and tournaments are starting to kick off down south, it's a really big time for baseball globally. And as intensity ramps up in the baseball world, so do the injuries, the number of injuries. I used to work at a sports medicine clinic, and every single April up north in Canada, and every April, once the fields were open and the players could get on the fields, April was just a disaster. April and typically to mid-May. And what would happen at this sports medicine clinic I was working at, we would have a bi-weekly or a monthly meeting with all the professionals in the clinic, the doctors, the surgeons, the rehab specialists, the athletic therapists, the physiotherapists, massage therapists, and us, the conditioning performance guys, with the clinic administrators. And we'd break down, hey, what are the trends we're seeing? Is there anything we can do about it? And as you can probably predict, the number of injuries we would see in April and May were probably 90% baseball related, and of that, almost 100% throwing related, especially in the younger populations. We just strap it on and go with little or no preparation. I'm going to talk about this later in the show. Please, if you're a baseball player, even if you're just a weekend warrior, even if you just play slow pitch, listen to the last segment of this show, because we're going to talk about just getting ready for throwing in baseball. There's no more dangerous movement than throwing. Throwing is one of the most dangerous movements in all of a sport. And if you're a pitcher, that gets magnified exponentially because of the stresses that are on the players that throw at intensity more often. And we're really, really concerned about players that pitch a lot or catchers who throw more than anybody in the game. And if you look what's happening in Major League Baseball, well, look, the injury trends are not good. We're seeing injuries go up in the minor leagues, and there's a reason for that. We're also seeing, though injury rates are down last year in Major League Baseball by 3%, the trends over the last 5, 6, even 10 years are not good, despite everything we know. What is going on? We need to solve this. But we can also see this in other sports. There's no question. With this new age of specialization and early specialization and honing in on one sport, and this peak by Friday mentality that we have, this peak by Friday mentality. There's such a rush to be perfect and to be good. I'm telling you, for those of us who can just sort of step back, and I'm encouraging all of us to do it. I've been trying to do it. It's hard. I get it. But to step back and go slow. You can't ignore the data. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it right away. We're also going to visit with our good friends at Baseball Canada. We know that globally, Canada is a world leader when it comes to sport development, from youth right up to high performance. Right up there, of course, the U.S. has a strong program. Actually, every country. I mean, you look at the Olympics. Some of these countries are just incredible. But when it comes to developing players and coaches, Canada's really doing some cool things, and I love to talk about this. We're going to talk with the guys at Baseball Canada, Andre Lachance, who is the Director of Sport Development and Business for Baseball Canada. He also heads up and supervises and it looks after the women's national team there. A very, very strong, strong program. But Canada, despite being snow-covered for the majority of the year, is producing great baseball players, and great athletes all around in all sports. We're going to try to figure out why. We're going to tap into some of that knowledge with Andre coming up in the next segment. And then again, at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about how you need to get ready or things you might need to think about to get you ready and safe for your baseball season. If I had a wish, it would be that nobody would get hurt playing sport. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that's crazy. I know it's plumb loco. It doesn't make sense. It's wishful thinking, but what a great wish to have. I do know that when we sat there in that clinic years and years and years ago and broke down the number of injuries we're seeing and getting the feedback from the doctors who were assessing those injuries, over 85% of the Little League and Men's League, Mixed League, Women's League baseball injuries we saw, 85% were deemed 100% preventable just through proper preparation. And that's one of the things that steered me into my baseball career, is helping athletes prevent injuries in baseball. And it led me down the road to working with the Blue Jays, Baseball Canada, and now consulting with Major League Baseball. And I'm still as passionate about that injury prevention side of today as I was 25 years ago. And yet the numbers aren't getting any better. Why people? And we're seeing it in all sports. We're looking at, you know, professional soccer in the soccer leagues. There's more kids playing soccer than ever, but there's still injury issues there. We're seeing it in basketball. We're seeing it in hockey. We're seeing it virtually in every sport now. And there's a good reason. We're going to talk about it in a second. Listen, if you have ideas on this, or if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate and dig deep down into and share with everybody out there, let us know. Write to us. Our website is crushperformance.com. Send us your comments. Send us your questions, comments, smart remarks. We answer every single message we get. And we have dedicated segments, even entire episodes, to ideas coming from our listeners. Again, you know, I think that one of our mandates here on the show is to get everybody thinking about things that they might not be thinking about typically. But also, it's really cool, as we get some of these notes and messages from our listeners, and they're going, damn, I never thought about that. Let's look into that, guys. We get the team together, we look into it. And it's just, it's great, because it usually leads somewhere pretty cool. So please, I love the messages. You can follow us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, on social media. Look, I'm going to make a concerted effort this spring and summer to really expand the Crush Performance social media. It's hard for me. I'm an old codger, man, when it comes to the social media stuff. But what a great, great platform and great tool that is for sharing information. So we're trying to harness the power of YouTube so we can share advice and information from experts and from inside Crush Performance to everybody who's listening. We're also working on Instagram. We got some really cool and hip social media people, Tanner and Ina. Hey, you guys are awesome. And I also want to thank you guys for your patience because I know it's been frustrating for you guys as I try to get this all going. But YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram are really going to be important parts of what we're going to do here in the next few years on Crush Performance. And hey, your feedback, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, is incredibly important to us. So let us know. Follow us, though, and write to us for sure. Well, let's get into it. Today on the show, I kind of want to pick up where we left off last week. Again, thanks to our listeners, I was duly noted. Last week was our opening day MLB Crush Performance Extravaganza, where we looked at the stories, teams, and players to watch this year. And also, we talked with Alan Mitchell about some of the rule changes and how baseball is changing like no other sport ever has in such a short time, in such drastic ways. And now all these rule changes are coming in as baseball looks to capture new fan base, a new fan base. They're trying to get to that younger fan base and make the game a little more exciting, because some of the numbers, if you listen last week, some of the numbers that we're seeing in baseball right now don't necessarily bode for an exciting spectator game. But we all know that anybody who's gone to a baseball game before, it's much more than just the game. I mean, I've gone to a baseball game and I can honestly say that I've watched very little of the game. We're visiting, talking, something will happen in the game. We'll talk about that for two innings and, you know, something will happen. We watch it on the Jumbotron. It's just a fantastic experience. It's about getting out and just being there. And it's so much fun going to a ball game like every other sport. But baseball is a little bit different, and it's changing. And last week we got into the numbers and some of the teams that we're watching this year, as we do every at the start of every season. Alan Mitchell was joined us. We went over the rules. And I also talked very briefly. We ran out of time at the end, and we talked very briefly about some of the players to watch. And I just want to go over this again, because I really do believe that if we, you know, look at the professional players. We've always said this. If you want to find out what to do, look to the pros. They've got staff and support people there, really, really intelligent people in every single sport at the highest level. And they're trying to tap into human performance in ways that probably we can't even imagine yet. So we always look to the pros to see what they're doing. And we also, of course, with the headlines, we always watch the pros to figure out what not to do. Okay, we learn from other people's mistakes and whatever that might be. You guys can imagine the doping and the match fixing and all this other stuff that goes on. But that being said, we'd like to learn from the highest level of sport. And for me, one of the best ways to do that is to watch the players. Pick a few players that are intriguing for whatever reason and follow them. They don't have to be the superstars. Though I'll tell you what, we are going to be following Machado, Harper. We're certainly going to be following Trout. You know, all these big contracts, over $1 billion. In contract money on three players. And if you look at all of the extensions that have gone on since the start of the season, man, we're talking billions of dollars invested in players in hopes of chasing down that World Series championship, one of the most elusive and I think most difficult championships to win in all of sport. But we watch the top players for sure, just maybe to dissect them and figure out how these guys became the very best at what they do. But also inside of the body of every single sport is a group of incredibly talented people. And the only reason they're special is because they've made themselves special. They've gone through the process, they've dedicated themselves, and they've made themselves very, very special. How did they get there? What do they do? What are they doing to stay there? Because here's one thing I will tell you. I've worked in pretty much every major sport. And the athletes that I talk to, who are either seasoned veterans, just young coming in, or veteran players who are long retired, they will all say that it's one thing to get there, but it's an entirely different animal to stay there. And for the most part, every athlete I've shared time with has said that staying there is much, much harder than getting there. Isn't that interesting? So it's one thing to get there. And for everybody who has the dream of playing professional sports or college sports or elite sports, representing their country in the Olympics, it seems like a huge monumental task to make that team, to make that roster. But to hear the people who've been there say that getting there is one thing, but staying there is another, well, that gives us a lot to think about. And certainly in the areas of player development, we are now thinking about exactly that. How do we develop players properly in those critical developmental windows from 0 to 7 years of age, 8 to 12 years of age, 13 to 16, and 16 and onwards? How do we develop? What do we do in those windows that might allow a player to be successful when they reach the top? And I'm telling you right now, what we do at every one of those windows is critical. It doesn't have to be scripted. It's not written in stone, but there are things that have to happen. And if they don't happen at the right time in development, you can't get it back. Those windows are gone. They disappear. So when it comes to long-term development, I think there's a lot of things we need to consider. And watching these players play is one of the things that I like to do in all sports. And so this year, of course, we're going to be watching all those great players. We're going to be watching the pitchers as well. Scherzer, DeGrom, Verlander, Stroman. We're going to be watching the pitchers to see who can stay healthy through the season. And then for those pitchers that are healthy, we're going to try to figure out why. What are they doing that's keeping them healthy? It's very, very important observational work. And, you know, we're just lucky enough to know enough people inside of baseball that we can go in and get a good idea of what those programs look like so we can help the next generation of players stay healthy. Because I'm telling you right now, the numbers are scary. The injury rates in baseball, in professional ball, are scary. But if you were to hear the numbers, the injury rates in little league and developmental baseball, wow. You know, we are seriously, I could honestly maybe say we're destroying more talent than we're creating. And we're going to have a show coming up this fall that's dedicated to exactly that statement. And we're going to lay it all out. We're not going to get too deep into it now. But we are going to certainly watch these players. So a couple of the players I'm going to be watching with great interest. Vlad Guerrero Jr., the Blue Jays star. The next generation of big league incredible talent. Now the Blue Jays, of course, have decided to keep him in the minor leagues, which I don't mind from a developmental standpoint. And where the Blue Jays are at in terms of their organization right now, they're sort of in a rebuilding phase. So I think it's not a bad move to keep Vlad there. Just in terms of a business decision, based on the rules that exist right now in Major League Baseball, they can control his rights 1 year longer just by keeping him down in the minor leagues a little bit longer. I don't think it hurts a young player to go and play at a level where he can just dominate. I think it might be really, really good, especially if that transition to the next level goes well. So we're going to be watching, of course, Vlad Guerrero. We're going to be watching Bryce Harper, as I mentioned. We're going to be watching Joey Votto. I love Joey Votto. He is quietly one of the greatest players in baseball in this, you know, few recent seasons. He is just constant, and as he ages, he's just like a fine wine. He's getting better. We're going to watch Joey Votto this year because we know in the offseason, he really takes it seriously. How is he going to not just maintain his performance? He's looking to get better as he ages. So we're going to watch him. And he's sort of hidden away there. You know, he's not in a big market, flamboyant team. But hopefully they can compete while he's there. Because it would be great to see him have some success in the postseason. We're going to be watching Josh Donaldson as he moves from the Blue Jays to the Braves. To see if he can revive that career. Just like Tulowitzki going now to the Yankees. We're going to be watching Tulo as well. So lots of great, great players. And then these young, exciting guys that are kind of this new generation of players. Francisco Lindor, Jose Altuve, Judge, of course, these great young players. Christian Yelich. And I got to say, last year, I think one of my favorite players to watch out of the Atlanta Braves was Ronald Acuna Jr. He just makes the game fun. These guys are having fun out there. And I think that's a great message to send to the young generations. So lots of things going on. And then, of course, I have to get this before we cut out for our first break here. And again, everybody let me know. I did not announce my pick for the World Series in the last show. Moo did. Al Mitchell did. And I hope you guys have your picks as well. But I'm fairly confident this year. This will be the 1 year that I'm really confident. My number one team to follow is the Phillies. Of course, I want to just watch and see what kind of an impact Bryce Harper can have on a pretty good organization. That's going to be fun to watch. It really is. I'm watching the Yankees and Red Sox duo. Astros are my number four team to watch. Then it's Padres, Rangers, Jays, Mets, the Angels with, of course, Trout's contract, and then the Orioles, who literally blew up that organization and they're rebuilding. We'll see how they react and build over the years. That's going to be a long watch for sure. But who's going to win the World Series? Well, here's the crush prediction, and I'm quite confident in this. I'm picking the Red Sox. The Dodgers are going to come out of the NL, but I have the Red Sox taking it all. And we'll see if that holds true this year. I didn't do so well last year, but I'm quite confident based on the landscape right now that the Red Sox are going to be quite competitive. And, of course, it's not going to be easy because the Yankees are looking good as well. Hey, listen, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look into the performance programs coming out of the Great White North as we talk with Andre Lachance of Baseball Canada right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles and DJ Eakin, news and political pundits like Law and Crime Network's Vincent Hill, and independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass. Again, we are your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, reach out. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, or just reach out with your questions, comments, smart remarks. Or listen, if you have a topic or something you'd like us to investigate, please let us know. We answer every single message that we get. And we have dedicated segments, even entire episodes, to ideas coming from our great listeners. So get us thinking. Our job on the show, I think really if we get down to it, is we've challenged ourselves to get people thinking about what they should be thinking about, if that makes sense. We're just really inquisitive. We've got a great network of professionals across the board in the sporting world. And they're always challenging us to think outside the box and even look at things in different ways, ways that we might not have before. And I'll tell you this right now, some of the questions and comments we've been getting from our listeners over the last couple of years has got us thinking. So it is a give and take for sure. So let us know if you have anything you'd like us to investigate. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Instagram, Facebook, and our cool new YouTube channel. Just search out Crush Performance. So today we're talking a little baseball still. The season is underway. NHL playoffs are taking shape. March Madness, so much going on in the world of sports. Spring is a great time. There's no question about it. Up north, people are getting outside for the first time. The fields are still drying. We're waiting to get onto the baseball fields, the soccer pitches, rugby, you name it. We're waiting to get outside. Down south, it's been going. And when you think of it, it sometimes never stops. Baseball is year-round. Most outdoor sports are year-round. Is that a bonus? Or does it actually hinder development? We're going to talk about that later in the show. I think when we talk about injuries and athlete development, I think we're going to be surprised at what we see when we start studying the warm climate countries as opposed to the cold climate countries. There's something very, very interesting to look at there and a lot to be learned, no question about it. But one thing is for certain, sport is getting international. There is development happening all over the world, and sports that weren't typically international are now seeing players and really elite talent now entering the ranks where it didn't exist before. And baseball is absolutely no exception. Of course, with baseball underway, we've been breaking down all the data from 2018. We're looking at 2019. We're trying to predict what's going to happen. We're looking at the rule changes. Are they going to impact the game? But we're also looking at, hey, where are the players coming from? Where is the talent coming from? And this is a very interesting year. The opening rosters in Major League Baseball for 2019 had the second highest number of international players in the history of the game. 28.5% of all Major League players come from outside the U.S. How fantastic is that? I mean, Major League Baseball has a very, very strong domestic development program. So within the U.S. and North America, they're really, really pushing to keep those players interested in the game and developing and playing the game, not just to become Major League players, but to play the game for life as fans and just as baseball players. But it's really interesting to see how the game has spread globally. Internationally, the Dominican Republic leads the way with 11.2% of total players. That's 102 players on Major League rosters from the Dominican Republic. It's the first time in history, as a matter of fact, that Major League Baseball has had over 100 players from one country outside of the U.S. That's huge for the game. And we all know that the DR is a baseball mecca. It is a baseball factory machine down there. They love the game. Those kids can play the game. And they're really starting to develop players that can achieve at the highest level now. Venezuela comes in second with 68. And despite all the political unrest, I think this is one of the beautiful things about sport. I think sport really can unite a country. Despite all the hardships and all the negativity and all the bad things that are going on, sport always has the potential to bring people together, to bring a nation together, to bring people globally together. Now, it can also divide. If we look at some of the bad things that happen in sport, the doping and the scandals, the match fixing, that's not always positive. But when it comes to sport in general, there's just so many good things that come out of it. And for Venezuela, in the shape they're in right now politically, to have the second highest number of international players, I think that is truly, truly fantastic. Again, those kids can play. Cuba is third with 19. Puerto Rico has 18. Mexico has 8 big leaguers this year. And then Japan and Canada, very interesting. They're tied with 6 players each in Major League Baseball. Just think about that for a second. There is something happening in Canada that's incredibly special. And I know this for a fact. There is a person or even a group of people in every single Major League organization keeping their eye on Canada and the players coming out of Canada. Think about that for a second. Japan's population is right around 130 million people, and they love baseball. It might be as serious or even more serious a baseball market as the United States is. And then you have Canada, population of what, 36 million, with the majority of the kids playing basketball and hockey. Baseball is maybe a third, fourth level sport. Though with the multi-sport approach they have in Canada, a lot of kids play many sports as they're developing, which is great. We'll talk about that later in the show for sure. But the number of kids playing baseball in Canada is minuscule compared to a nation like Japan. Yet Canada is constantly ranked among some of the top countries in terms of producing major league talent. And if you look at the Canadians that have played the game, these aren't just average players. We're talking Cy Young, MVP, batting title type players, impact players coming out of a country that's covered by snow for more than half a year. We're going to talk about this later, but there is a lot to learn from the nation of Canada. If we get back to baseball, Curaçao and South Korea have 5 players each. Colombia has 4. Aruba has 1. Now, these are the international countries that currently have a single player on major league rosters. Listen to this lineup. It just gives you the international flavor that is now professional baseball. All these countries have 1 player on opening day big league rosters. Aruba, Australia, Brazil, Germany, Lithuania, the Netherlands, Nicaragua, Panama, Taiwan, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. How about that? 20 countries represented internationally by Major League Baseball, and there's much more when we think about the Olympics and the international game of what's happening in terms of the game development. A lot of cool things. Well, speaking of that great Canadian program, you know I know the guys there. I help them out as much as I can, but there's something special going on in the North. So joining us right now to share a little bit of that Northern hospitality and wisdom is the Director of Business and Sport Development for Baseball Canada, our good friend Andre Lachance. Andre, thanks for joining the show today.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Well, spring has finally arrived, at least in certain parts of the North, and baseball is underway. Very exciting times. Major League Baseball kicks off right here. But Andre, the big conversation for us, I think, in the world of baseball is at the developmental level. So there's a lot of very, very important issues that I think need to be addressed. And number one, I think, is the idea of preventing injuries. We're seeing the injury rates rise at every level of the game, and I think it has a lot to do maybe how we're managing our annual plans. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, and I think one of the key things, Jeff, is that it became really difficult and challenging for coaches nowadays to periodize their season. So it seems like it's, and we're trying to put lots of emphasis around proper preparation, proper programming, and periodization during our courses that we offer coaches across Canada. But it's always a challenge. It's one thing to talk about it when it's time to but that plan to hit the road, and it's, a different situation.
Yeah, for sure. I think, Andre, you know, for a lot of the coaches across Canada, especially at the little league developmental grassroots levels, these are volunteer coaches, dads, moms, who maybe don't have a lot of experience in the game. So, you know, bless them for certain to get out there. But it's a real uphill task to put together a quality program or help them put together a quality program.
And that's why we're trying to, develop some sort of pre-plan organization for them, so they don't have to worry too much about creating their own. So whether you're at the rally cap level or at the 11U or 13U or 15U, when we create the absolutes, that was kind of the philosophy behind it. So we wanted our coaches to focus on the right elements for them to focus on, whether it's on the physical, technical, tactical, or mental side of the game. So I think it helped a little bit, but still, like you mentioned, like we're dealing with moms and dads, and in some cases they become coach at the parents meeting when the team doesn't have any coach, and if they happen to ask too many questions, then they do become coaches.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do our best to equip them with the best possible tools so the experience is good for them and good for the kids.
Yeah, fantastic. We're talking with Andre Lachance from Baseball Canada. Andre, we know for a fact that Baseball Canada is a global leader in athlete development and player development, certainly from our national teams to the Olympic program, right down to the coaching support and also the long-term athlete development program. The LTAD and the coaching development program are very, very special parts of the sport development model. Maybe talk about that and all the work that's gone into that. And we see a lot of countries looking to Canada for guidance.
Yeah, and although we are a leader, as you mentioned, our LTD model now needs a little bit of a refresher. So we're pretty excited to know that the LTD generic model 3.0 has been released in January. So that's pretty exciting, and that's going to trigger our group to come up with version 2.0 in this calendar year in 2019. So we're planning to have a version available at the end of this calendar year. So knowing the new knowledge, the new research, the new science behind athlete development, we're going to come up with a model that is going to help us go through the next decade. And those elements are quite important for us because the first version created back in 2007 was quite a change for us on how we do things regarding athlete development, sound programming, meaningful competition, and other great principles of athlete development. But we believe the next one might help us go through the next decade with even more successes.
Yeah, I really like this, Andre. And of course, baseball is special. There's really no sport quite like it, with the challenges of hitting that ball, throwing that ball, and the throwing motion itself. Andre, athlete planning and progressive annual planning and the long-term approach is so, so important in this sport, especially when we look at the rise in the injury rates at every single level of the game. I think we really are doing a good job, but we need to, you're right, take another step forward in educating everybody and how to protect their players, because we know if kids get injured, they're not playing.
Yeah, and we need to understand also and teach our coaches that at the end of the day, they are responsible for making the right decision as to like how many tournaments they're going to participate, allowing kids to play in multiple leagues and participating in how many games during the course of the year. And sometimes we find out that kids are over competing and under training during the course of the year. So that's something that we are looking at addressing even more in that LTD 2.0 for baseball moving forward.
Yeah, I like it, Andre. In terms of keeping the game fun, entering the game of baseball, you know, I think baseball's done a really good job. Major League Baseball, the international side, the addition now of baseball getting back into the Olympics is really going to raise the profile. But I think kids love playing the game. Keeping them in the game is, of course, a big, big challenge, especially at the entry levels, Andre. And you and I have talked about this before, but I like some of the initiatives that Baseball Canada and some of the other organizations have put into place to make the game a little easier, a little more accessible, but to allow kids to have success early on so they sort of catch that baseball fire, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. And I think the next thing, and we've talked about Rally Cap before, which has been a huge success across Canada, where we kind of challenge the way we're playing games for the kids for the first time, looking at the old T-ball version of playing versus Rally Cap, where there's a bit more focus on athlete development, on skills development, which is key for these kids. So we want that first experience to be so good that the kids want to come back. And if we look at the last, now 7 years, we're one of the few sports in Canada that I've seen increases in membership. And not only in one province, but across the board, from east to west. So in all 10 provinces, we've seen increases in membership. And the next big thing, I believe, that we're piloting right now, people listening are probably not familiar with this concept, it's called Baseball 5. And Baseball 5 is a street version of baseball that we're piloting right now in Vancouver, Edmonton, Trois-Rivières, Montreal, Quebec, and Halifax. And basically, the main difference is you're playing 5-on-5, and there's no glove and there's no bat. So you put the ball in play by hitting the ball with your hand, and it's a really, really small field. And based on the pilots that we've done so far, you could play 5 or 6 innings in like 20, 25 minutes, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, fun. It makes me think of like beach volleyball, sort of a kind of a atmosphere, right? Really carnival, fun, fast-paced. I love the Baseball 5 concept.
Exactly. And we're seeing like that early results are showing that we could easily play girls with boys together, any age, like from 8 years old, beginners, to 14, 16, even adults would like to experience it and have success, and even experienced players having lots of experience with the game would experience Baseball 5 at a different level, where they would realize that there's different skills and different tactics that can be used in that game. So we're pretty excited about that, and we've got great support from Sport Canada as part of their innovation program to test it out across Canada right now, and we're looking forward to the final report and results in June of this year.
Yeah, I really like it. It makes the game accessible, Andre, for all ages. I can see this being a great sort of adult rec league kind of a game, but also what a great cross-training approach to the game for the actual game of baseball. Certainly, definitely in terms of introductory, getting introduced to the game, but what a great way to change the game just enough to really maybe enhance that whole athlete type approach, right?
Yeah, and we're finding also, like, that's a great point. We're finding also that it's really appealing for new Canadians that have never really been exposed to baseball before. The fact that there's no glove, the fact that there's no bat, like, it removes a barrier for participation.
Great stuff. We're talking with Andre Lachance, the Director of Business, Sport Development, and the Women's National Team for Baseball Canada. Andre, let's talk about this now. The Olympics. Baseball is back in the Olympics. It's coming to Japan in 2020. The Olympic qualifiers are coming up this year. This is really big for baseball. I was kind of really disappointed about the Paris decision. We could talk about that in a minute, but baseball's back in the Olympics, and that means a lot to national federations.
Oh, totally. And 2019, if people are looking at our calendar, it's going to be really, really busy. And on top of that, you need to add the Pan Am Games that are happening in Peru in July this year. So for our national senior men's team, this year is going to be really, really busy. First with the Pan Am Games, and then we have Premier 12, which is going to qualify the top Asian and the top Americas team for the Olympics. So there's going to be two teams qualifying to the Olympics. And for people not familiar with the Olympics in Tokyo, it is going to be only a six-team tournament. So meaning that after this Premier 12 tournament, three spots will be gone, knowing that Japan has an automatic participation. And then if we do not qualify at Premier 12, there is going to be a continental qualifier. So from there, two more America's team will qualify. And then if we're not successful there, there's going to be a last chance tournament in the spring of 2020 in order to qualify the last team for the Olympic tournament. So this is going to be exciting because there's only six teams participating. At the same time, it is going to be busy for our athletes if we don't qualify early in the process. It means that we're going to have two or maybe three events to participate. So yes, it's exciting for 2020. Yes, it is disappointing for 2024 for Paris, but we're really confident that for 2028 back in Los Angeles that we might be back in the picture. People have to understand that when a country is hosting, the country has a say into the last couple sports that they can add to the program. So in the case of Tokyo, that was kind of an automatic that baseball would be in the games. A little bit more difficult for Paris because baseball is not a key sport in Europe and maybe less of a popular sport in France. So we're looking at facilities and the number of kids participating. So those have a big impact on their decision. So and the Olympic movement also is also looking at youth and what's youth like as far as sports, and that's why you're seeing surfing and those type of sports making their entry to the Olympics.
Yeah, and I don't mind that at all, Andre. No question about it. So we'll watch this. Los Angeles selection very closely, and I think you're right. We'll hopefully see baseball back there. One thing on the international game, though, you made me think about there, talking about the Olympics and all the qualifiers, is the international field. It is getting more and more competitive, and I'm really, really enjoying that, Andre.
Well, if you look at there was some data released yesterday on the number of players coming from other countries on opening day in the Major League Baseball. And once again, and people sometimes, even when we speak to colleagues, people don't realize that we have as many players in big leagues at the start of the year than Japan has. So, and Japan is a national sport. They have 100 million population versus our 38 or 40 millions here. So there's a satisfaction here that we sometimes appreciate. But it's interesting to see, like, a country like Dominican has over now 100 players in Major League Baseball on opening day rosters, and the emergence of other countries as well. And you see all those Latin countries with more and more every year, and you see those smaller countries that didn't have really participation in the past, such as Brazil and Australia, that now have players on opening day rosters, which is quite exciting, and it tells a lot about the growth of the sport at the international level, and also where we're going also with Canada.
Yeah, such great stuff, Andre. Well, listen, I know you guys are set for a busy spring here and a very, very busy couple years upcoming. All the best of luck to everybody there at Baseball Canada. Hey, and I personally want to thank you and everybody there for everything you do for the game, not just in Canada, but internationally as well, Andre. Very, very appreciated, my good man.
Thank you, sir.
There you go, everybody. A little insight into the incredible program happening in the Great White North in Canada. There's a lot of cool things that happen in that country, especially when it comes to sport and sport development. I think every country is looking to Canada at some point for leadership and guidance to see what they're doing. But I can also tell you once again that I know for a fact every single major league team has an eye or a number of eyes constantly on Canada to see who's coming out of there, who's developing, who's in the pipeline, and what they're doing to create players. Listen, let's cut out for a quick break. When we come back, let's wrap up. I want to talk a bit about specialization, athlete development, and injury prevention. Are you ready for your baseball season? We'll have some help right after this on Crush Performance.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Groeschel here, the con man. We're your weekly source for performance information. Reach out to us, crushperformance.com. Get our newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, or just send us your questions, comments, or smart remarks to crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on social media, search out Crush Performance. Listen, not much time left, so I want to get right to it. Great conversation with Andre Lachance there. There's certainly some important things to take away from that Great White North program there in Canada, but there's a lot of great things happening all over the world. Despite everything we know and the investments we're making, the injury rates are climbing in virtually every single sport, as are the dropout rates, for a number of good reasons. So if you're a baseball player getting ready for your season, I want you to take a look at our website. We're going to post a progressive throwing program that we put together for elite high school and collegiate baseball players. It's very similar to some of the programs we've used in professional sport. It's not for you. Let's get it straight. I don't know about your throwing mechanics or how much you're throwing or what age you are, but I want you to look at that throwing program to get a better idea of how much time we take to get our players ready for the baseball season. Now, one of the issues here is if you're a multi-sport athlete and you're coming off your basketball, your badminton, your volleyball, whatever season you're in as we get to the spring here, with everything else that you're doing, you have to find time to get your progressive throwing program together. And it can't be like 2 or 3 days before your first practice, go out and throw a little bit and be ready for baseball. No, it takes time. Listen, throwing a baseball is a really, really complex movement. And the shoulder joint is, well, relatively unstable. But if you throw at intensity hard enough with enough repetitions, it's a recipe for disaster that can be totally avoided through proper preparation and just progressive throwing. So even if you're not really getting 10 weeks, 15 weeks, even 5 weeks of preparation time, as your season starts, you really have to monitor and progressively build up how much you throw and how hard you're throwing. Pitch counts are only one piece of the puzzle when it comes to protecting our baseball players. Inning counts are just one piece of the puzzle. It has to be a combination of volume and intensity, just like every other training strategy in all of sport. You have to combine your competitive schedule with your training schedule, and there has to be a balance between intensity and volume if you're going to progressively develop your athletes in a safe way. Very, very important, especially for throwing. So make sure you're considering how hard you're throwing, how many times you're throwing, and take a look at that throwing program on our website to hopefully maybe get an idea of how much time we take. And that, again, was built for elite high school and collegiate athletes, but it gives you a good idea of the time we spend getting those guys ready for the season, and girls as well, for sure. And just as a final comment here, I wanted to talk a bit about specialization. Now, we're going to dedicate a couple of shows this spring and early summer to this topic because it's really important. And you might be getting sick of it, but until we start making the right changes and seeing a shift inside of our sporting development models, we've got to talk about it more than we are right now because it's a massive problem. Listen, specializing early lowers the potential of your athlete, period. No one is special. Absolutely no one. There was a great study done in Copenhagen a few years back looking at athletes from a multitude of different sports, but they looked at athletes who specialized early, like by the age 9, 10, they dedicated themselves to one sport, and they tracked how many hours they put in, these athletes put in over how many years, and then what happened at the end of the road. Well, you'll often hear me say that there's certain things that lower ceilings of potential and certain things that raise ceiling of potential. I love three-year plans, and I like looking right now to how we're going to raise the ceiling of potential 3 years from now for every single athlete, team, and organization we're involved with. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen that often in sport. Here's what happened in that study. These athletes specialized at age 9, 10. They compared them to peers who didn't specialize till 15, 16, 17 years of age. Guess who went on to college scholarships, national team success, and pro contracts? Almost 100% the athletes who were multi-sport athletes. All right, to give you a little idea. And we're going to expand on this more as we move forward. There was also a recent study done of collegiate athletes that looked at a number of athletes from 19 different sports. If you've specialized your athlete, other than maybe figure skating or gymnastics, if you've specialized before the age of 10, 12, I like 12, before the age of 12, I think is playing with fire, but 10 is real troublesome. 94.7% of all collegiate athletes are multi-sport athletes, 45% of those up to 16 years of age. Specializing early does not work. All right, listen, we got to thank Andre Lachance for coming on today. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Again, questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us, crushperformance.com. That's it for today, everybody. If you're a baseball player at any level, make sure you check out that progressive throwing program on our website, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Rush the Field with Scott Seidenberg and Chris Landry Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
You know, I love watching the spring games because it gets me amped up for the upcoming college football season. You know, we talk about it all the time with early enrollees coming into school. And so you have some highly touted freshmen that are already in school for this spring semester, and then they get to participate in the spring game. So you get a little glance of what's coming up next fall. But also, it's a time for position battles where they really begin. Let's say you got two quarterbacks going into this fall season and you don't know which one's going to start. Well, you're going to pay a lot of attention to that red versus white game or blue versus gold, whatever. You're going to pay a lot of attention to that spring game.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it has become, and with the advent of some of the television networks that the own conference networks, they cover more of these games. And I think it is some fun for, it kind of wets the whistle, so to speak, for programs, for the fans to be able to see exactly what they have and kind of, and you're right, it's about looking at an individual player or two or three. It's a unit group, or, you know, how the passing game is going to develop, or, you know, it's some part of your team that you may have some concerns about, maybe some youth, you want to see how it's coming along. What I always say, though, about these games is don't look at the result, and I don't mean the score, but don't look at the success of a certain aspect of your team and or a failure and translate that to that's what's going to be in the fall, because a lot of what you do is working on simplicity, very vanilla, to try to work on things to try to gauge as a coach where you need to do a lot of work.
Rush the Field with Scott Seidenberg and Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.